So always serve the divine feet of beloved. Govinda Das, that means he's talking about himself. Govinda Das' only desire is to spend his life in the nine path of bhakti. Listening, singing, constantly remembering, offering prayers, serving, worshipping, being his friend, and completely losing myself. That's the meaning of this poetry. I'm going to sing that now. So, again, I invite you to be in a meditative mood, and because when I sing, I make a lot of gestures, and if you're looking at my face, you'll be distracted.
Your singing's beautiful.
And you can, yeah, thank you. These are the 9 practices.
Shravana Kirtana, Shravana Kirtana, Shravana Kirtana, Smarana Vandana, Shravana Kirtana, Smarana Vandana, Pad Sevana Dasyare, Pujana Sakhijana, Sakhijana. Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakhijana Atma Nivedana Pujana Sakhijana Atma Nivedana Govinda Das Abhilashare Govind Das Abhilashare Govind Das Abhilashare Bhaj ho rahe man Shri Nandanandana Abhay Charan Aravind Abhay Charan Aravind Abhay Charan Aravind Rai.
Let's meditate for a minute. This poetry, this kirtan is actually one of the favorites of the Vaishnava sect in India, which are the devotees of Krishna. And I heard this song actually just 2 years back. And the first time I heard and read the meaning of this, I started crying. And I couldn't, this is one of my favorite kirtan, I couldn't sing. The first time I tried singing in with public, I started crying in public also. So for a long time I couldn't sing this, because this actually is a summary of the whole bhakti practice. This thing, you know, the first two, three verses actually just saying, you know, this the nature of this dualistic existence, and the second is actually the path out of it. So actually, Congratulations to myself, the first time I'm singing in public without getting emotional. So I want to sing a Mirabai kirtan next. How many of you heard about Mirabai? Mirabai? Okay. Mirabai is actually the most famous woman from India. She is actually a bhakti yogi. She's from the Saguna Bhakti, that is form-based bhakti. Her deity is Krishna. And her form of bhakti is Madhura Bhakti, which is the lover bhakti. She considered Krishna as her lover. And there's a story that Mirabai, when she was actually from a royal family, but she was not interested in any kind of royal lifestyle. So she became a renunciant. And it's very courageous of a woman to do at that time. And she was looking for a teacher, and there is this, her teacher's name is Govindadas, and she followed this teacher for some time, and then she wanted to ask her teacher, and Govindadas, who had a monastery and had only male students. So she, but she knew that she's bonded with this teacher and she wanted to ask and join the monastery. So she went and asked the Govindadas that, "I want to be your student and join your monastery." But the teacher knew that the monks are still in the beginning stage and they may not, she may not fit in, or they may not get along with one very beautiful woman among 500 monks who are trying to control themselves. So Govindadas actually told Mirabai that, you know, this is only this immense only monastery, and I want to be to teach you, but you cannot join. Then Mirabai actually asked him, men only? I don't see any men here. Show me a man, because she said there is only one man in the universe, and that is Krishna. Everybody else is gopi. Gopi means maid. So the teacher was taken away, and teacher had to accept her, because she gave a teaching to the teacher that, you know, they are not men, or there is only one man in the universe. So that's an interesting story. So this this one kirtan has four stories in it. The first line is Hari Tum Haro Janaki Pir, means Hari is the name of Krishna or Vishnu. I pray to remove the sufferings of all beings. That's the first line. And the second stanza is, you protected the honor of Draupadi, lengthening the garment that covered her. Does anybody have any meaning of that? Third line, for the sake of your devotee, you assume the form of Narahari. Nobody knows, right? Narahari means half lion and half human. That is Narahari. You rescued the drowning elephant Gajaraja from the water of Samsara. Oh, Master Giridhara means Krishna, I am your maidservant Meera. Wherever I look, there is only suffering and pain. So Hari, I pray to remove the suffering of all. So this is the poetry. So I'm going to talk three stories now before singing that. Okay, so you protected the honor of Draupadi, lengthening the garment that covered her. Draupadi is actually wife of Arjuna, who is the friend of Krishna. Arjuna was Krishna's best friend, and they were practicing martial arts one day, and by accident Krishna's finger was cut by Arjuna's sword. So the story goes, there was blood was flowing, and Arjuna couldn't do anything. And Arjuna's wife Draupadi was looking at their practice, and she, by looking at the wound, she actually took her sari and tore it and covered the wound. So that is one story. And the second part of the story is, decades after that, when Arjuna and was taken as slave by other kings, Draupadi was also taken as slave, and the people who took them as slave tried to abuse her by taking the clothes off. And you know sari, right? It is like really big. Yeah, so you wrap like 8 times or something. Something. Yeah, I remember how my mom, you know, it is like a big thing. Like I used to just sit and watch as a baby how she wears a sari. It takes a lot of time. So the story goes, they tried to undress her sari and sari never
stopped.
Sari never stopped. So the first one, you know, is the first part of the story. Second part is the people who are taking the sari off, and then on the top is Krishna. Actually, there is a better picture, but I couldn't actually find out. He is actually untying the thing. So this actually, there is a deeper meaning to this. This is actually a teaching on karma. Karma grows. What Draupadi did was give a small piece of cloth, and over a period of decades, that small thing became like 1,000 saris. Yeah. So this is how Puranas teach Dharma. The first time I have heard this story like 100 times from my grandmother and mother, and I never knew the subtle meaning. And then I came to America and had my life for 10 years, and I accidentally got into Buddhist practice and liked that practice and bonded and had my own teachings on karma and wisdom and all. And then once I revisited this, I'm like, oh my God, that is the teaching. Yeah. So this is the, like, that's what the Puranas do. They give medicine with sugar coated. So these many kids from India knows these stories. 90% of, because these stories are household stories, mm-hmm. kitchen table stories. Mm-hmm. So these, by stories, they plant these stories in kids' minds. And when they are in their 40s, it is like,
that's
great. So it's actually a teaching on karma. So the first one is, you protected, the mirror is saying, you protected Draupadi by lengthening the sari that covered her. And the next story is, for the sake of your devotee, you assume the form of Narahari. Narahari means half lion and half man. So this is another story. There was a king he was a yogi. He was a devotee of Shiva. And then he was a very devoted practitioner, and he got some siddhis, which is the boon from God. And when God the story goes that when God appeared in front of him, God asked him, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want to stop death. I don't want to die." Then God said, "No, that's not going to happen. Everybody will die. So except that, I can give you any boon." So he thought he's going to be clever. So he thought, grant me that I not die within a residence or outside any residence, during day or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death is not brought by any being other than those created by you, or nor by a weapon, nor by a human being or an animal. So like that it goes. It is this only a small thing. No. So he was being clever to defeat death. Grant me further that I not be killed by a demigod, demon, or demon, or by any great snake from lower realms. No one can kill me in the battlefield. May I have no competitor. Grant me the blessing that I too may have no rivals. So if you don't have rivals, there is no death, right? So give me the lordship of all other entities and angels and deities, and give me all the glories obtained by that position. Furthermore, give me all the mystic powers attained by long austerities and practice of yoga, for these cannot last at any time. So God said, yes, you got it. So the story goes, his son became a bhakti. After he got this boon, he thought that he has overcome. He has actually overcome. He's not gonna die. And he is also a powerful king. So he started abusing his people. He started conquering the whole. So he became the king of the world. That's the story. And he became very brutal and evil. Because he thought he cannot die. And then he had a son who actually became a Bhakti Yogi practitioner. He's actually considered... I talked about Narada Bhakti Sutra, right? Narada Bhakti Sutra is considered as one of the top texts of Bhakti Sutra. But Narada himself is second in... considered as only second to this boy who's the son of that evil king. His name is Prahlada. So the son of this king is considered the number one Bhakti Yogi from the yoga tradition. So this boy, by birth he was, the story goes, by birth he was enlightened and he was born to teach Bhakti Yoga to other people. So he was teaching to other kids and father did not like it.
And father.
Because father said, I am the god, you know, I am the king of the kings, I am the king of the world, I am not going to die, so I am the god, so worship me. And the son will not do that. And then once father was so angry and he was going to kill the son, and the story goes, half man, half lion came out of a pillar, not in the morning, not at night, but at the dusk, and took him not inside the house, not outside the house, but at the door. And he killed him, not with any weapon, but his claws. So all these things that he had actually taken the boon for, it was so easy for the Lord of Death to... And the Lord did that to save the Bhakti Yogi. So that is what the thing says. You protected the honor of Draupadi, lengthening the garment. For the sake of your devotee, you assumed the form of Narahari. And then the third story, you rescued the drowning elephant, Gajaraj, taking him out of water of samsara. So this is a story of elephant. There was an elephant. That's the third story. So this elephant was so successful. He had hundreds of... he had a great life, hundreds of wives and kids. He had everything in the...
Happy elephant.
He had everything he wanted. He will go to this pond, lotus pond, and play. He had a royal life. Once he went to the pond and he was playing there, there was some kind of sensation on his leg while he was playing, you know. And he was the most powerful. He was most powerful of all the elephants. So he just ignored it. But by the end of the day, he found out that he could not actually move his leg from that position. And then he found out that it was a crocodile.
Oh.
And then he said, oh, it's just a crocodile. I'm just going to kill them. And he tried to kill the crocodile. The crocodile will not go. And then he called his friends. Friends tried to help him. Crocodile will not leave him. He's just stuck there. And then all his kids and wives and everybody started to try to help him. No. And by that time, it is dark. And then he said, you go home and take rest. I will take care of them with my friends. And then by midnight, even friends are tired. The crocodile will not move even a bit. He could not, with all his power, with all his family power, nothing could be done. And by after midnight, all his friends left and he was alone. And here this king, elephant king, who had a great life, is alone and could not do anything. The story goes, the next day they came and was playing or spent time with him like that. This elephant spent 10,000 years. That the story goes. Story says that. And then, after 10,000 years, they even stopped coming to talk to him. So he became all alone. And that is when he became a Bhakti Yogi. He was alone. Nothing in this... He had everything he wanted in the world. He was the king of kings, of elephants. He had the whole forest. But nothing helped him when the Lord of Death, which is the crocodile, caught him. And he became a bhakti yogi, and he took a lotus and called Lord Krishna. That is the story. That's how the story goes. And in his first call, Krishna comes in that bird called Garuda. The Garuda is actually half human and half bird, and this is actually a symbol of instant enlightenment. Garuda comes flying to you. Garuda is a bhakti yogi himself who is ready to take the Lord to other bhakti yogis when they have total surrender. You know, in yoga there are two paths, the path of practice and the path of instant enlightenment. So Garuda represents the path of instant enlightenment. So the elephant started surrendering. What that means is he actually had the awakening, and he called for help and gave the lotus, and Krishna came on Garuda. And if you look at Krishna's hand, there is this thing called chakra. It's called Sudarsana chakra. Sudarsana means right view. Darsana means view. So that it is using that weapon that Krishna killed the crocodile. But if you look at the name of that weapon, it is called Sudarsana. Sudarsana means right view. So only with right view that you can kill your fear of death. That's the teaching. You know? So this also another story I have heard from my grandmother. So now this makes sense, the poetry, right? Hari tum haro janaki pir, Hari, I pray to remove all the sufferings of all. You protected Dravati by lengthening the sari. You, for the sake of devotee, you assumed the form of half man and half lion. You rescued the drowning elephant, taking him out of the water of samsara. That water represents samsara, you know. And I'm your maid servant, Meera. Wherever I look, there is only suffering and pain. So I pray to remove the suffering of all. So this is how the kirtan or the bhakti tradition actually teaches, you know. And once you know this, you can actually listen to this and have that experience. It is not listening to music, you know. It is by listening. I listen to this, and then all these teachings go through my mind. It's very powerful practice. So I'm going to sing that.
हरि तुम हरो जनकी पी 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 द्रौपदी की लाज राखो द्रौपदी की लाज राखे तुम बढ़ायो ची भक्त कारण रूप नर हरे भक्त कारण रूप नर हरे धर्यो आप शरी धर्यो आप शरी हरि तुम हरो जनकी पीर हरि तुम हरो जनकी पीर भूडते गजराज राख्यो बूढ़ते गजराज राख्यो बूढ़ते गजराज राख्यो कियो बाहर नी कियो बाहर नीर हरि तुम हरो जनके पीर हरि तुम हरो जनके पीर दासी मीरा लाल गिरधर ला दासी मीरा दासी मीरा लाल गिरधर दुख जहाँ तन पीर हरि तुम हरो जनकी पीर हरि तुम हरो जनकी पीर हरि तुम हरो जनकी पीर.
Let's meditate for a minute. another song I wanted to sing, but I don't think there is time, so I'll sing this next time.
It'll be next time?
Next Tuesday.
Excellent.
Hi, Sachin. So, we have 8 minutes more. I want to do a dedication chant in the last couple or 3-4 minutes. So before that, if anybody have a question, comments, or anything, this is the time. Yes.
Well, I wanted to say that what I've experienced about bhakti is that when I meet certain people who are on the path, that their mastery of a certain aspect of bhakti tends to be contagious around them. And I can only name those people like on one hand, but I actually feel that you are one of them, and I want to thank you for that. But that is what Sangha's for, that's what community practice is for, so that contagiousness of bhakti.
Yeah, bhakti practice is very powerful, and in the West, the asana practice is very strong. Even compared to India, it is much stronger here. People are so dedicated, but if you put this sugar in it, that cocoa, this bhakti is the sugar that you put in the cocoa and to make that chocolate. You know? So without that sugar, cocoa is dry. So if you're a yoga practitioner, this adding this can actually take your life in a very sweet direction. Thanks for the comment. Any other question?
Jay, are you going to teach sometimes? Like help other people also sing?
Sing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I teach now. So I'll talk to you about my classes.
It's like Indian gospel.
But it takes you to meditation. I don't know. Here the gospel is there. It takes you to a different.
Yeah.
It takes you to a different level, right?
Yeah.
Gospel music.
Gospel music.
Yeah.
Oh, music. Okay.
Yes.
Devotional.
Yeah. With wisdom. Yeah.
I think that people do practice it like that.
Okay. You had a question? Okay. Anybody have a question? No.
I kind of have an observation. I have a hard time using chants as a part of spiritual practice because they're in Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
And like for you, those words evoke certain emotions and memories. And I think for most English speakers, those are just words. And so they don't have that deep meaning that you can, every time you say a word, like you say a word mother or devotion or peace, like whatever, like there's some resonance to it, but I don't have that with Sanskrit. And I think that's why bhakti practice for me has always been, kind of felt disconnected, because I don't know how,
mm-hmm.
I don't have that like, deep sense of those words.
Mm.
And so do you have any input or ideas on that topic?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. To actually get something in your mother tongue is very powerful. Like when I get teachings in English, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And when I hear the same teaching in my mother tongue, it is a whole different experience.
Yeah.
You know? So, but English is kind of my half mother tongue now, so I actually chant in English. I have chants or affirmations that I go through in English also.
Oh.
So I have heard the same question asked to many other people also, and the various responses I've heard is, one is like, it doesn't matter what you feel like it, go ahead with Sanskrit chants, because Sanskrit, the language, is actually created from the pranayama tradition. So every syllables and words have more power than actually what it actually
means.
Appeals to your mind, the intellectual mind. So it says it is actually its own, like shanti or bhava. It's actually, when I say ecstatic mood, it doesn't make sense. it only serves 10% justice to the word bhava. When I hear the main word bhava bhakti, I immediately go to silence. But when I say ecstatic mood, it doesn't, you know. So, that is one explanation I have heard. Like Sanskrit is built in to actually align your energies to receive the teaching. That is one thing. But you are the best guide. You know how your mind and body and heart works. So, another thing I've heard is these chants are actually not written. These chants actually themselves are descended from the hearts of yogis. You know, so that is another way I look at these chants. One of the many of the chants that I sing in Kirtan are actually from these Puranas, and they are actually attributed to some saints who have their own life story. And so when I chant that, I am experiencing that whole lineage thing, you know. So knowing that, the teaching behind and how, where it came from, can actually may help you when you say that chant, like Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. So why is Shanti three times, you know? That is body, mind and heart. That is one explanation. Another that is from the yoga tradition. Another Jnana Yoga, that is the intellectual yoga tradition, it says Shanti, Shanti, Shanti means it's for the dream state, the waking state and the deep sleep state. So depending on what kind of yoga you have practiced, you can have invoke that meaning in you. And then it doesn't matter what the language, because you are actually deeper than the language. But I have English chants too, so...
So will you teach more classes then when you teach the chants? And we know by now yogi practitioners, we know lots of chants, but will you teach a class where you... There's a chant and there's a story behind
yeah,
it?
Yeah, usually when
awesome.
I...
Was that your...
No, that would just be so much fun.
Yeah, let me work on that. Yeah,
okay.
Actually, when I do my kirtan, I actually explain my chants. But it will be nice to do that, dedicated to that explanation. You had a question?
Yeah, well, actually, I had a comment about this. I think if you make your intent in your heart, even if while you're listening at the Sanskrit, even if you don't understand what it means, because the intent does come with the Sanskrit, because it's more than the meaning of the word, it's the vibration of the sound. So if you made your intent that you wanted your heart to open, for instance, or clear your mind, and then you just listened to it without any kind of judgment, that you would find that opened you, whether you understood it intellectually or not.
Thank you.
I have one more suggestion, which is that sometimes in the West, we try to be further ahead than where we are, and how you learn Sanskrit is the same way any child learns Sanskrit and feels the Sanskrit, which is simple, simple chants, ma, 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 ra, ra, ra. These are little words, and then you can feel them more rather than, well, you know, bigger chants. It's not as simple for us. So then you could feel the vibration. I'm just thinking.
So I'm going to chant this famous chant called Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. What that means is may all beings be happy. So we are going through a difficult time now because a lot of violence is going on, and this is an election season. People have a lot of things going on in their heart. So I just want to dedicate our practice to the healing of the earth and healing of our own hearts and healing of our community.
Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta Sukhina Bhavantu Loga Samasta Sukhina Bhavantu Loga Samasta Sukhina Bhavantu Loga 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 Samasta Sukhina Bhavantu Loga Samasta Sukhina Bhavantu Loka Samasta Sukhina Bhavantu Bhavantu
Thank you all for coming. I really enjoyed this. I'm excited for next week.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.